Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Chris and the guys at Greenview Construction LLC are a firm offering professional services in design and, of course, construction. And they are proud to announce that they've completed design and 3D renderings for 2-spec home models located in the Jupiter and Palm Beach Gardens area, sitting on over 1-acre lots. Now, they've got 4 lots available for these model homes. The first is a British West Indies model style, totaling just over 4,500 square foot, air-conditioned space, 5 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms, and they boast 16-foot ceilings in some areas. The second, more traditional style home, 3,100 square foot, air-conditioned space, 4 bedrooms and 4 baths. They boast 14-foot ceilings in some areas. Both models will have a free-flowing layouts that connect the kitchen, the family room, living room, library, a den, and outdoor lanai. And both models will have an option to add a detached in-law suite if you really want the in-laws to move in, and a garage totaling an additional 1,000 square foot. You can visit Chris and the team online at www.greenviewconstruction.com. You can email Chris Tyson, that's C Tyson as in Mike Tyson, C Tyson at greenviewconstruction.com, or you can call 561-727-5013. They're also on Facebook, they're on Instagram, they're on Twitter. Just look for Greenview Construction. And if that wasn't enough, they have an appointment-only showroom at 715 Commerce Way West, Suite 14 in Jupiter, Florida.
Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage? Looking for a reputable, fully licensed, insured, and certified contractor? Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. When a disaster strikes in your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. With over 62 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, and Eric and their team is prepared to handle any size disaster. The guys are born and raised in South Florida, so changing the narrative on the way contractors conduct business in South Florida is extremely important to them. Their objective is to make cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed building contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. There's no need to bring in other contractors. They will handle it all for you. Call or text them anytime at 561-408-7835 for immediate assistance. The number again, 561-408-7835. Water Cleanup of Florida. This show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a revolutionary new daily fantasy game whereby you pick 2, 3, or 4 players to go over or under their fantasy point projections, and if you're correct, you win. Pick 2 or more players from the same sport or league, or go cross leagues for your parlay. Use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, 5, and receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. But first, sign up at prizepicks.com to start winning today.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on. Welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Chris Kaufman is here. Simon Clancy is not, because he's in Colombia.
Colombia. Yeah. He's on vacation, Chris.
That guy travels more than anybody I ever
see. Do these Europeans actually work, or?
I don't think so.
Right?
I mean, no. I mean, well, to be fair, he was in Croatia for work, which I didn't realize.
Oh, he was. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't realize that. I thought he was there on like holiday or something. And nope, he was there for work. This is an actual vacation.
Yeah, that's nice. Colombia is nice. Or Colombia. It has to be Colombia. If you say if you say Colombia in front of somebody from Colombia, they'll correct. They'll look.
Well,
at
now
you.
Now that my alternate personality is going to Colombia, I've got to.
You just said it. You said Colombia. Stop saying that. It's Colombia.
I tried. I've got to work on it. I've got to work on it, Alf. Like, okay, especially since my alternate personality is
very
is
simple.
Going down there for a holiday, so I have to say, I have to work on this.
All right. Do you know how to say colon?
I know how to say colon.
All right. Take away the N and put an M, and then put Bia after it, and you got it.
Colombia.
Nailed it. First try. You saw that? That's a professional.
I got to do an ad read now.
You see, that's a professional. Folks.
Let's use this momentum. Let's do an ad read.
All right. Do you know about our great sponsor, Manscaped? Do you know the promo code?
I do know. Wait, is the promo code 5RSN?
Yes. And do you know what you get with that promo code?
A lot of free shit.
Basically, yeah, you get it in value because you get 20% off your entire order. Yes. If you get the lawnmower 3.0. They might be up to the 4.0 eventually. They might be there now.
I can't wait for the 4.0 to come out if it hasn't already come out. And then, in which case, I can't wait for the 5.0 to come out.
Yeah, well, the last one had an LED light. I'm looking forward for the one with the thermal scope.
The LED light is so convenient. I'm just gonna say that.
Yes, it is. Of course it is. Like they, you know, you think these people just sat in a room designing this thing and just said, put an LED light on it. You know, it makes it look tactical, you know, for the tactical crowd. No. They know what they're doing. You know,
I mean, the whole, the whole adventure down there has to be pretty tactical. I mean, if you know
what I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm waiting for the one with the thermal scope. So that way you could just use it in the dark.
Thermal scope.
Yeah. You know, that'd be awesome. But of course,
as long as they don't put a black light on it.
No. You cannot. Don't do that. Okay. I don't know if I could do a read for that. But again, 5RSN, 20% off your entire order. You spend $100. Guess what? My math tells me you save 20, which means that instead of spending 100, you spent 80. Wouldn't you use our promo code to do that?
Absolutely. That's like putting $20 directly into your account.
Exactly. So use the promo code 5RSN. We get credit for it. Do it. Of course, we are also sponsored by Better Edge. That use betteredge.com/5reasons, and you get $20. Simple as that. You sign up with them, they give you $20. All right.
Let's be clear about that. That is Better Edge, right?
Yes. Not better. Okay. It's not better. Better Edge.
It's Better Edge. Better all with right. Better.
All right, Chris, I spent my afternoon with Mike McDaniel taking selfies and enjoying the South Florida sun. What were you doing?
I enjoyed the afternoon taking selfies of myself, not in the sun.
Okay.
And yeah, because that's just, you know, it's for our OnlyFans.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
I mean, OnlyFans, of course.
OnlyFans. Yeah. And speaking of OnlyFans, you can join OnlyFans. Okay. For $3 a month. And you're going to get all these reports. You're going to get us. You're going to get your own patron chat where you could go back and forth with other like-minded Dolphin fans. Go to our pinned tweet on our 3 Yards Per Carry Twitter account, and it's all there. All right.
That just reminded me of the time I did actually take like a Snapchat filtered like thirst picture and put it on OnlyFans. Like, I think we'd only been doing OnlyFans for like a couple of weeks or something like that. And I was just like, hey, people will have to search for that one. That's, they'll probably find us. Yeah. We're in trouble now. I'm going to delete. I'm the god of the server. I'm going to delete that post.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to let's see. I'm going to test you. I'm going to quiz you on something. You ready?
Yep.
I was witness to a depth chart and I saw.
Did you say death chart?
No, depth chart. Depth.
Oh, okay. That's much different.
I was witness to a depth chart that had Mike Gesicki and it said FP next to it. And I stared at it for over 2 minutes, not figuring out what it was. Then I finally did figure it out. What does that mean?
FP? Is it like as in his position?
And no, it's just right next to his name. It just says Mike Gesicki, FP. What is that? I'll give you another one so in case you could get a hint, okay? Tyreek Hills says 04.
I mean,
it says 24. It says 24.
Okay. So I was going to, if it said Tyreek Hill BMF, then I get it. But now I'm confused as fuck.
Okay, FP, you want to know what it is?
Is it Finn's player?
Franchise player.
Franchise. Oh.
Yes.
What is 24 then?
Contract expires 2024.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I guess those are the guaranteed years in the Hill deal.
So did everybody have this? Like everybody on this depth chart?
Somebody gave it to me. And I was looking at why do they got all these numbers on this depth chart? And I guess somebody went through the trouble of putting like all the designations of all the contracts and when they expire on everybody's deal. And I was like, what the hell is this? And then I noticed it. And I'm like, and I put two and two together. I'm like, okay, Mike Gesicki is the only guy that I see with an FP next to his name. And then I see other guys with different and a lot of 24s and a lot of 23s. And I'm like, okay, those are the years that their contracts expire. This is pretty genius, which is the first time I've seen a depth chart done that way.
Well,
right.
Okay.
So I've
never seen this. I don't understand why we're suddenly being, you know, we're suddenly all privy to the long-term salary cap machinations of, you know, the nerds with the glasses and the nerdery in the back rooms that, oddly enough,
it was a salary cap blogger that gave me this depth chart.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go then.
And I'm giving him a shout out. I'm not going to say his name.
Okay.
I'm giving him a shout out on the show. This is a very interesting way to do a depth chart. I was at practice today and practice started off with a selfie. Now, some people on Twitter are like there's some miserable people on this earth, Chris.
There are.
Yeah. The coach takes a selfie with the beat and I'll take you through your mind. Coachy, it was actually Omar Kelly who instigated it. He asked him for a selfie and the coach immediately obliged. He's like, yeah, let's make sure you get everybody in here. Everybody lean in. Your thoughts on that? Because some decided, oh, now is when I got to start with the hot takes on Mike McDaniel.
First off, yes, there are a lot of miserable people on the world, but to be fair, two of them are on this podcast and usually three. There's that. But this is classic Mike McDaniel. That's what he does. People like him. They root for him. It's not going to matter if he loses on game day, but it's fun right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, it's fun stuff. He has pressure. I've said it before. You said it before. We both expect him to make the playoffs. If he doesn't make the playoffs, like, look, I could see a scenario where he wins 10 games. We don't make the playoffs. And we just say, look, God damn it. We're just unlucky. Like, we should have made the playoffs going 10-6 and then going 10-7 2 years later. Like,
well, you know, that's I don't know if they would say the unlucky part, but I mean, like, they expect improvement, right? Mm-hmm. And they based on what they've done with the roster, they should expect improvement. They were 9-8 last year. 10 wins would be improvement. So, you know, they'd have it. It wouldn't be sufficient improvement. I mean, I think we had both expect the playoffs, but he's not on a hot seat. And I don't know that, like, you know, everybody's Sean Payton now. Yeah, it's kind of weird, but it's, you know, just because if he wins 10 games, I don't think he's getting replaced by Sean Payton. So, and I don't think Sean Payton is really in it for Miami anyway, but yeah, so I think that would not necessarily be a success because they want the playoffs and they're, you know, they need that. That's the marker, I think. But if they get 10 wins, it's like sort of a, you know, kissing your sister sort of victory.
Absolutely. And I guess we'll start here. Coming into the day, Alec Ingold was wearing the orange jersey. So evidently he was the practice player of the day for yesterday when everybody was, what, I guess, checking in their bags or just showing up to the parking lot. So he got the best parking space, I guess.
So how did he get that orange jersey?
That's what I'm wondering too. But he was wearing it today proudly.
Who did he pay off to get that?
I stood right next to him and I'm like, wait a minute, this guy's small. And then I look at him like, okay, he's not small. he's like really wide, you know? He looks like a fullback. But yeah, he had the orange jersey. But I know who's getting the orange jersey for tomorrow. And if he doesn't, he was robbed. And that's where I want to start. Trill Williams. Man, he was everywhere. And damn, does he look the part. Big, strong, fast. Can you see... possibly Trill Williams may be contributing more than just special teams this year, because you had a theory on OnlyFans and I guess I want you to share it now on the podcast.
My theory that Trill Williams is going to beat out.
No, your theory on Josh Boyer and what he thinks.
About this UDFA. Isn't a theory. This isn't a theory. This is he's flat out said it. I mean, he's straight up said on camera before that he likes undrafted free agents more than he likes first round picks. I mean, he's a big fan of the unheralded corner. He likes to find the diamond in the rough. I think he likes their attitude better too, because they practice a little bit more desperately, I think. And so I think that, you know, when it comes to if we're going to compare Trill, or I get put Trill Williams up next to Noah Igbinoghene, he's more likely, Josh Boyer himself is probably more likely to, you know, actually discount Igbinoghene based on his first round status, as opposed to everybody else would assume that, you know, well, he's the first rounder. So, you know, he's got to be given the benefit of the doubt. Well, I don't think that really happens with Boyer. I think he loves that. He loves that late round undrafted type that works his way up. He did that. He had guys do that in New England. Mm-hmm. He's had Nick Needham do it here in Miami. And I think he just likes it. So, I mean, so somebody was asking the question specifically, you know, Trill Williams or Noah Igbinoghene. And I was just like, to be honest, you know, this is not based on any kind of film watch or anything. This isn't me watching Trill Williams and going, oh, wow, you know, he's the dude. This is just reading tea leaves. But, you know, there's something about Noah Igbinoghene with this coaching staff, and it is the same defensive staff for the most part, mm-hmm. Where he's stuck in the mud. He's clearly stuck in the mud. And I'm not saying that based on anything that happened today, obviously. But this is just stuff that we know about him. And so, you know, him versus Trill Williams, I would say, well, one has kind of an arrow up.
Yeah.
And one is kind of stuck in the mud. So pick one, you know. Well, you know, this campus. So obviously there's opportunity there, but, would I be surprised if somebody like Trill leapfrogs, you know, and goes up? No, absolutely not.
Yeah, and I was commenting on this earlier. That secondary, they retain their title. I think that's the best looking unit on the entire team. Although that defensive line looks great, but. What a group of athletes. Like, I could see what they're going for every time they sign a guy and why people like Sheldrick Redwine stick around. You know, they just like long, lean, great athletes. Wait, fast.
Is he actually still on the roster?
Sheldrick Redwine, yes, is still on the roster. He's one of the safeties.
Did not realize that.
Yes, he's still one of the safeties.
I thought they got rid of him.
Yeah, and he backs up Holland. If you know, I remember I can't reveal too much of where he plays, but let's just say he plays enough. Okay.
Well, you just revealed it, so.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I didn't say where Holland plays. I don't know what unit, you know, Holland plays, right?
Does he play punter?
No, I'm not saying whether he plays short, you know, strong safety, free safety, or he's on the first team, the second team, or the third team. You know, I'm not revealing any of those things.
So what we know is that Javon Holland
plays ahead somewhere. Of Sheldrick Redwine.
He plays somewhere.
Ahead,
wherever it is, it's ahead of Sheldrick Redwine.
Yes,
and it could be, you know,
anywhere.
It could be playing at the tennis.
It could be running back. It could be wide receiver.
It could be basketball.
Yeah, it could be any sport. Keon Crossan, another guy. Damn, he looks good. I could see they have a type: long, lean, fast, great athlete. Like that's what they like, and. It was kind of. I got a kick out of looking at Sam Madison and Patrick Surtain coaching up these guys, you know, because I was like, man, there's a lot of talent right there. Like, I could see where they're going with this, you know. And you know, I guess past Saturday, I'll be able to reveal much more. But it's going to be an interesting group, especially since Byron Jones, and we can reveal this because the coach said it. The coach said that their goal is to have Byron Jones ready for week one. And that they won't jeopardize that fact, meaning he basically just said he's playing week one and we're not going to do anything to fuck that up. Okay, it's as simple as that. Which, if you put two and two and two together, you know, I'm no math major, but I guess you're not going to see Byron Jones this entire preseason. You might see him practice, but he probably won't play. I would say.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but well, you know, we'll see. But I seriously wouldn't. Yeah, they still might breeze him out there just because they don't, you know, just to get him up for playing the season at some point. That wouldn't necessarily jeopardize him, but yeah, we'll see.
Now we'll get into the offense a little bit here, but before we, you know, after we do that, we're gonna round out the defense because last week we did the entire offense. One observation, Trill Williams, part of the reason he had a lot more plays than just this one, but Teddy Bridgewater threw a ball. Let me see. I'm going to try to figure out how I can say this without revealing exactly what happened on the play, but I'll just say that it was on the near hash and it was an out route and the coverage was essentially quarters where you're basically on a back pedal for 8 to 10 yards and then you roll up. Trill Williams broke on this thing and took it to the house 40 yards out. It was as good a play as I've seen in practice in a while. It was an Xavier Howard type play. You read anything into that during camp where a guy makes an eye-catching play and you start thinking to yourself, man, there's just a few guys probably on this roster that can make a play similar to that. And does that give you a leg up against, you know, although, you know, to be fair to Noah Igbinoghen, he made a nice play on a Tua pass earlier today that, you know, everybody thought that he intercepted it, but evidently he didn't intercept it because he couldn't get his feet in bounds. But do you look at a play like that and start thinking to yourself, okay, if he's one of the few guys on this team that can make a play like that, that's a guy that you just got to keep around. Like there's something there.
I wouldn't. I mean, so I think no, in short, no, but I think that what you have to realize about a play like that is it's not about, it's not even about like a true, I mean, yeah, it's a good play and he made a good play and, but you there's so much more to evaluating a guy than just one good play like that. But at some point you got to realize that just catching the eyeballs, right? Just catching the eyeballs makes a guy percentage wise far more likely to, you know, to keep catching the eyeballs and keep getting the opportunities. And so it's sort of like, you know, whether he does have the goods or doesn't have the goods, breaking off that play does well for him, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the play actually indicates whether he does or doesn't, I think that, that it does give him a leg up. So, you know, that's important. It's important. I think it's interesting though, that, Noah Igbinoghene himself had a, decent play too.
Yeah. And his play was better because it was against Tua Tagovailoa, you know, and he was in coverage against Jaylen Waddle, I believe, on that one play, you know. Although I've said this before, and I don't think I'm revealing anything by saying this, I wouldn't read too much of what's going on in these first two or three days, because this is mostly install and very basic stuff. I'm talking about a high school offense was being run out there and high school defense. Like, it was very basic stuff. The guys are just getting their feet wet, you know. Nothing, you know, there was nothing tricky about anything that either team was running today, you know. But I could comment on a few guys. I'll comment on this. Solomon Kinley, the hype is real. He's lost weight, looks slimmer. Teron Armstead, as good a good-looking left tackle as I've seen here. As good a good-looking offensive lineman since Jake Long, I would say.
Yeah, he's a specimen.
He is. He's just slim, strong, barrel-chested, long arms. Like, he's, you know, like if you draw up a left tackle, you want him to look like that. He also told, which was, I thought, interesting. He told Raheem Mostert he could beat him in a 10-yard dash. Do you believe
it? Did he?
Yes. Raheem Mostert was holding court with the media. And obviously, you're going to ask Raheem Mostert about, you know, are you going to race Tyreek Hill? Are you going to race, you know, Jaylen Waddle, et cetera? And Teron Armstead peeked in and said, you should tell him about racing me for 10 yards. And Raheem Mostert said, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you guys are usually pretty fast off the block. And Teron Armstead said something like, you know, it's not you guys, it's me.
Well, you know, he is the record holder, I believe, for tackles in the 40. But and I forget what his 10-yard split was, but it, you know, was.
Does
it
he
was
have a shot really... at this, or was he just blowing smoke?
No, he's blowing smoke up people's ass. He doesn't have a shot in hell of beating Raheem Mostert even in a 10-yard. I mean, we're talking. I mean, listen, running back education time. When it comes to these the splits, the combine splits, and 10-yard dash and such, running backs are unusually better in the 10-yard split, even compared to, you know, other guys that are fat, like wide receivers. You'll get the good running backs, the good well-testing running backs, even if they ultimately run, I don't know, something like a 4.5, something or other, they end up with some really good 10-yard splits. And the wide receivers will do worse than them. But Teron Armstead, yeah, he had like handheld 465 and in the 40, but and
which is
and
electronic
471. But his 10-yard, I mean, his 10-yard isn't going to come in faster than running backs. It was like, I'm looking it up now. It was like 168 or 169. I mean, then that would be slow. That would actually be slow for running backs. So he's just blowing smoke. He's having fun, but whatever. I think either way, the fact that, you know, that he's able to compare himself is pretty impressive overall for a tackle, and that's why he's the record holder as far as the 40 goes. But I mean, Raheem Mostert, I think I just looking at it, he's got a 149 10-yard split.
Wow.
So sorry, buddy.
Yeah. Guess Sony Michel dropped the 34, thank God, and is wearing 28 now, which is better news. Okay, as a Zaquandre White, I could see it. You know, I'm trying not to say too much. I'll say more come Saturday. Mm-hmm.
But isn't he number 47?
No, that's Zaquandre White is 47.
No, that's what I mean. Zaquandre White. Isn't he number 47? What the frick is with that number?
I don't know, but it reminds me of Bobby Humphrey at 44. You know, Chuck Muncy, I think, wore 48. He was a really good running back. Okay. I told you the story about Chuck Muncy, right? He was supposed to complete the 1984 Dolphins, but he decided to go on a Coke binge. And he didn't make it past the press conference.
As one does.
Okay. But they added Chuck Muncy because remember back then, we're talking about 1984, folks. Back then, you added a running back, your running game was fixed.
Back then, this is 1984. Back then, Coke was as popular as Coke.
Yeah, and you're bringing a guy from San Diego to Miami, and of course he's not going to make it past the press conference. You know what I mean? In 1984?
Fuck that.
You know? Last thing I'll say about the offense, Greg Little, I saw him out there. He wore 75. He exists.
Okay. So we verified he's on the roster. He does practice as a Miami Dolphin.
Yes. And he is wearing a uniform. Yes. 75.
He has a uniform. He's wearing the uniform. He's not like handing out the uniforms or something like that.
Yeah. Mohamed Sanu, your theories were correct. He's doing a lot of teaching out there. He's doing a lot of warming up with Cedric Wilson.
Told you.
You know, warming up with Tua. Tua was, you know, taking the young guys aside and telling them do this, do that. But that's it. Past Saturday, I'll be able to say a lot more about the offense. There's a lot to say. Trust me when I tell you that. Let's move on to the defense. Yeah,
but you know what's interesting before we go on the wide receivers with Mohamed Sanu is we already know that Cedric Wilson, if you've watched any of his highlights in Dallas, that dude can throw the ball.
Yes.
Right? That dude can throw.
Mohamed Sanu's better.
Mohamed Sanu's better. and you know, Lynn Bowden can clearly throw the ball.
I mean, are they trying to say something to Tua? Are they trying to,
like, for real? Like, what's going on? Like, are we like, and all the people that don't like Tua are got to be going nuts with this?
Yeah,
like,
all the people that hate Tua. Look, you, first of all, you're bad at this, okay? Because if you had a brain in your head, you'd be out there on Twitter right now saying that the Dolphins are sneaking in QB1, 2, and 3 into the wide receiver.
Right. You're sleeping on the job. I mean, these guys, hasn't Eric Ezekanma thrown a ball too? Or I forget.
Yes, he has. Yeah. Okay. He played quarterback in high school. So
that's right. That's right. So
I'll give you another one. Alec Engel played quarterback in high school. This team has a lot of quarterbacks on this team.
Got a lot of guys that can throw a goddamn ball.
And if we're really going to go deep, Xavier Howard played quarterback in high school.
Oh, right. Okay. No, yeah. I didn't know that. But yeah. I mean, and Durham Smythe, of course, takes the QB sneaks as the under center.
Yeah, so, what exactly is Tua going to do this year then? They have everybody to do everything else, you know?
I mean, I guess Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle don't throw, but they don't have to because they're
au contraire. Tyreek Hill has a perfect quarterback rating for his career and a touchdown pass.
Nice. But I mean, somebody has to catch the ball if we're going to have everybody else throwing it.
I will say this. Jalen Waddle, terrible thrower of the football. It's kind of sad that such a great athlete.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. Such a great athlete, a world-class athlete, okay? You know, world-class. Yep. One of the best wide receivers in the NFL. Not a good thrower of the football.
In past years, I bet, like, our fellow pessimistic Dolphins fans would say that our coaching staff that would be the one that they pick to throw a ball in the game. Like, you know, Cedric Wilson can throw, Mohamed Sanu can throw, Lynn Bowden can clearly throw. You know, we have all these guys that can throw the ball, and we'd have the guy that can't really throw out throwing it. So that's, and I'm referring to, I'm not referring to Tua.
All right, we're going to move on here to the defense. I'm going to start on the defense.
You know, you haven't even said how Tua looked today.
He looked good. He looked fine, you know.
I figured that would be different. The first thing we
his
have
body's
to get
different.
Out of the way.
His body's different.
I heard into like Quadzilla.
Yeah, Tua's ass is massive, and his thighs are massive. Like, he's taking on that role. And I know people go, Russell Wilson's bigger. No, he's not. Tua is actually bigger than Russell Wilson. And not only is he bigger listed, he was bigger coming out of college. And I'm pretty sure he's bigger now. I'm pretty sure Russell's playing at somewhere around 215, 218 pounds. Mm-hmm. Man, there's no way in hell that Tua is weighing 217 pounds like they're saying right now.
I don't know. Like, his, because his trainers were kind of bragging about, like, you know, how they had him chop some weight and, you know, get faster and stuff like that.
I think he looks last year. He
last
looks
year they
great.
Wanted him to pack it on.
He looks great for the position. I think he looks heavier but functional weight. You know what I mean? Like, you could see, you know, where the muscle went last year. I think it was more cosmetic. He had good looking arms. He had the traps going. You know what I mean? He had the lean stomach. Oh, that's useless. Forget that. For a quarterback needs strong legs, strong glutes. You know what I mean?
Leg day. Don't skip leg day.
Big calves. That's what a quarterback needs. And man, did he pack that on this offseason? He's just big, thick.
So he looked all right today.
Looked the part. He looked like Russell Wilson. You know, big booty, big thighs, big calves. What you want to see in your quarterback.
But did he actually throw the ball?
Yes, and threw it very well. Nice with nice little zip.
You heard it here first. Our starting quarterback actually threw the ball today.
Yeah, and threw it well. All right, let's move on to the defense. They wanted to keep the entire defensive line. They did that. The only difference is Brendan Scarlett is now listed as an edge player, and he's pressing Andrew Van Ginkle for snaps. How's this going to work? Because
he's always been there.
Yeah, but how is this going to work? Because I'm going to introduce something else into this. Melvin Ingram is also out there. We know Jalen Phillips has to play a lot of snaps. He didn't play enough last year for, you know, what they want going forward. I would say Phillips should get Andrew Van Ginkle's snap count while Andrew Van Ginkle should get Phillips' snap count this year. Do you agree with that statement, first of all?
Boy, you lost me there. What?
Okay, look at Andrew Van Ginkle's snap count from last year.
Yeah.
Right? Now look at Jalen Phillips' snap count from last year. I'm thinking they want that reversed this year.
Yeah. Well, but they're not playing the same. So whose snaps are being victimized here? I mean, well,
the reason I say this is because Melvin Ingram is going to play.
He is going to play, but he might be like sort of a specialist, like a pass rush specialist.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are times.
We know Melvin Ingram's going to rush
like a pass rush specialist.
Melvin Ingram's going to rush 7 and rush 9. He's going to rush wide 7, wide 9, tech 7, tech 9.
Mm-hmm.
At expense of who? Has to be Van Ginkle. No, that's who got that gig last year.
Well, yeah, I mean that. Directly at his expense, yes. But I mean, Van Ginkle got way too many snaps. So
yes, he did, right? You noticed that, right? And now they're introducing Brendan Scarlett as a guy to push him.
Well, I mean, but Brendan Scarlett in his own right got, you know, almost 200 snaps last year. And the interesting thing about Brendan Scarlett is that he's not, you know, he knows what he's doing out there more than he is, you know, a good athlete. I mean, he's big. He's, you know, 6'4" and 260 or something like that, but he actually makes plays in the passing game and in coverage and in pass, and even as the Dolphin, even with the Dolphins, and it's just because the ball just kind of finds him, and it definitely is not because the guy moves well, but you know, that's, he's the sort of guy that you trust to put on the field, and I think they put him on the field in sort of run situations. So he might continue to get some snaps that way. I think Melvin Ingram is going to be, because Andrew Van Ginkle was sort of the sometimes they refer to this guy as the fifth rusher. You know, as far as an edge only, very outside pass rusher, usually pass rush situations, stuff like that. And Andrew Van Ginkle filled a lot of that last year. And so I happen to think that Melvin Ingram is going to be, you know, giving him a run for that. And you know, Van Ginkle might just have his snaps reduced, and that's fine. I mean, he had 800 of them last year. So he's very few players, only four players on the whole defense had more snaps than he did. So, you know, he can have his snaps reduced.
Yeah. The rest of that defensive line, you know, since they all brought him back, I guess they're going to be played the way they're designed to be played. But I'm going to ask you about another guy who I saw out there today who caught an eye. I told you about Raekwon Davis when he hits that sled, what's going on. And it's a real thing, okay? Certain guys can do it, other guys can't. And the guys that do it poorly, I'm sorry, they just don't fit the bill. But I'll give you one guy, Jordan Williams. What do you know about Jordan Williams out of Virginia Tech, who's a UDFA? 6'5", listed at 305 pounds.
I do not know much about him at all. I didn't really take a look at him. I mean, he's one of the UDFAs that they're bringing to camp, but he certainly did not come heralded with a signing bonus or anything like some of the UDFAs that we've got. And I've done this, you know, I've gone to a lot of the practices and especially like the all-star practices and stuff every year. And it's interesting to see when a guy really, when he hits the sled with that kind of force, you take notice, but you're going to have to see a hell of a lot more than that.
Yeah. It's just interesting when you confuse a guy with Raekwon Davis, when you're thinking to yourself, oh yeah, Raekwon Davis is doing his parlor trick again. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
You know, and trust me, it's a trick. When people say, oh yeah, Raekwon Davis, you know, he hits a sled, that like, that's interesting. No. You don't understand. It's a parlor trick. Because these other guys, like Christian Wilkins, is not a weakling, okay? You watch him hit the sled, and you see Raekwon Davis almost break the sled. Okay? And when he hits it, you hear quack, and you hear, like, the nuts and the bolts on the sled, like, clanking, like they might break. Like, it's violent. And I confused Jordan Williams with Raekwon Davis just off the mere sound of it. And then you look at the guy, and he's 6'5", 305 pounds. At least
he's really built well, by the way, that guy.
Yes, he is, and he looks like $1 million. Of course, nobody hit anything. I'm just saying it caught my eye. And in a world where Benito Jones has a roster spot, which, you know, you know what I mean, like, you know, and Benito Jones was rostered last year, I'm saying, you know, keep an eye out. You're always looking for the new John Jenkins. You never know, right?
No, I mean, John Jenkins has. Was he playing that role though? And well, I guess you're not allowed to talk about
that. I'm not allowed to say.
Cause I'm just saying, like, we're talking different body types, I think.
John Jenkins is built like a fire hydrant, you know.
I mean, well, John Jenkins is like one of those 330-pounder types, you know. And
330, you're being generous.
Yeah. Well, right. Exactly right. And Jordan Williams is, you know, if I know anything about him, it's that, you know, he's a 300 pounder, but, you know, when you watch him play and you see how he's put together, or at least you see, I haven't watched him play much, but if you see how he's put together and how he moves and stuff, I mean, he's one of those dudes that, like, well, I guess it fits because that's what his number was, but he's kind of put together like a linebacker. And just a very big one, you know, a very, very big one, or a defensive end or something like that. It's just a very, very big one, but, I don't think he'd be playing that sort of, you know, on the nose role, based on who he is, how he moves, and how he's put together.
All right, moving on to the linebackers, because there's not much else to say on the defensive line. You know, they're built the way they're designed to be played. You know, it's how they were played last year. You know, guys have very, very, you know, set roles on this defense, especially on the defensive line. The only thing that we might see a little bit different is Jalen Phillips playing a lot more inside since he found some success last year toward the end of the year playing inside. So you might see him on third downs rush as a three technique every once in a while. But moving
that was inevitable, that move. So
moving on to the linebackers, Channing Tindall, do you foresee, because we talked about this on a previous podcast and we talked about it for about 30 seconds, but it was a good question on OnlyFans and everybody was, you know, debating it back and forth. Is there a role for him this year or is this just a development year for Channing Tindall? And this is a small snap count guy for this season. Or is there a possibility he can play meaningful snaps on this defense?
I think, honestly, I think this is going to be, I hesitate to use the word redshirt year because they're going to get him on the field, especially on special teams. And so that means he's going to dress on game day. And that means if he dresses on game day, you can get out in the field. But as far as role in his defense, I do feel like people kind of get away, get too far over their skis on him, on what he's going to do. I think that there's a role out there for him, and there are games where he'll be relevant. But there's an old player that I've talked about in the past, that Brian Flores has coached before, and I think that he reminds me Tindall's usage might remind me a little bit of that, and that's Marquise Flowers of the New England Patriots, and he's played somewhere else. I forget where else. Maybe the Lions. I think of Sam Agavon, really how he was ended up being used last year in Miami. There's a little bit pass rush there, a little bit back. If that's a thing, there's a rotational role for it, and I could see him, you know, getting that, but otherwise I do think it's going to be a low snap count.
All right. And yeah, if you look at the linebacking crew, like everybody has like a defined role. Like we know Duke Riley, what he's there to do. He's there to take the snaps that Alandon Roberts doesn't take. Calvin Munson is pretty much the same guy. And he changed his number, by the way, to number 50, which is nice. And I like him as a player. But he's essentially great value Alandon Roberts. You know what I mean? He's that Sam's Club brand, Alandon Roberts.
Sam's Club, Alandon Roberts. I love it.
You know, so I would say I'm with you. Like Channing Tindall if Channing Tindall plays a lot of snaps, something bad happened to Jerome Baker, I would say.
That's kind of where I'm going with that. And even if Jerome Baker were to go down, I don't think that this is, you know, Jerome Baker goes down. It's sort of like, remember when Byron Jones didn't play or went down and we just threw Noah Igbinoghene out there like, you know, he had to blanket, you know, cover what's his name?
Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs for like 5 seconds at a time. And I don't think they're gonna do that with Channing Tindall, even if Jerome Baker goes down. That's my feeling. So I think that they're comparable players, but I think it's going to take some more time to get him to bring Tindall up to speed than it did to bring Baker up to speed, if that makes sense.
Yeah, a guy who's noticeable and you could see him out there when he's playing, Darius Hodge. You know, wait for preseason.
He's from Marshall, isn't he?
Yeah, from Marshall. Wait till preseason because, you know, remember, it's hard. It's, you know, especially linebackers. Like linebackers are not guys that you could just say, "Oh, you know, I found something." No, all you can see is like, okay, this is a good athlete, you know. And I would say, and if I'm building the depth chart, then I guess, you know, behind Jerome Baker, I would put Darius Hodge as far as a comparable athlete. Although he's not the same, but you know, it's comparable. You know, other than that, yeah, Channing Tindall, I guess if he plays, it's because something bad happened to Jerome Baker. That's pretty much all I have to say about the linebacking crew because, again, they brought them all back. There's, you know, unless you have something to say about Cameron Good, you know anything about Cameron Good?
I mean, I know that, no, I've seen him play. I mean, I've seen Cameron Good play.
But does he have does he have a shot at cracking this nut in the linebacking core?
I do not believe so.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking because this group looks like it's kind of set.
Yeah, and I think that Darius Hodge, I think it's interesting you bring up that he's put together and he kind of shows the mobility. I don't think he's straight line. I don't think he's straight line athletic, but he is pretty, you know, he is fairly explosive. The only thing is, and this would madden me so much, you know, attending practices. You don't know. It's hard to like go to these practices, especially these padless practices, and know anything about the running backs or the linebackers in particular before they're really allowed to hit.
Or the offensive linemen, for that matter.
Well, right. But I think there's more to be gleaned from the offensive linemen than linebackers and running backs, because they really, I mean, even when they're thudding up, you know, in practice, it's still practice and it's not full speed game. And when you get into the game, a linebacker's job is just pure violence, you know, and you can't really see that violence at three quarter speed, or, you know, without, unless you have, you know, is Landon Roberts going to show, are you going to hear the crack, you know, that a Landon Roberts can deliver in practices? Maybe rarely, but, like, you know, I think that until you get them into a full speed situation where they're allowed to just go for it, you know, like, and the linebackers are allowed to go for it, and the running backs are tasked with, you know, because they're the guys trying to, you know, be hit, and you see what they do about it, and whether they can avoid those hits, and whether they can, you know, whether they can stand up to them and stuff. It's just that those two positions in particular, having seen so many, you know, practices over the years, and it's really hard. It's really hard to get that without looking at getting, you know, full speed game. I think that offensive line, what's interesting there is so much about offensive linemen ends up being about how well you move. That, interestingly enough, yeah, you can see some things in these practices, and you can see which guys, because the guys that, you know, once you reach a certain point, you're a certain size and strength that these offensive linemen generally all have, a lot of it becomes about how well you move. And so it is interesting, but you can get something about that. However, you know, you're not going to get, you know, I don't see making too big of a deal about what happens on the offensive line when you're not even in pads or anything, but I'm just saying, you know, seeing how well they move is meaningful. And the Dolphins have a lot of offensive linemen, have some offensive linemen out there, I should say, who can really move, you know, Teron Armstead, Teron and Connor Williams, for example, Rob Hunt. I mean, he can really move. So yeah, that's interesting. But linebackers, running backs in this setting, I don't know, man. I just, you know, I'm just gonna wait for the preseason games.
All right, moving off of the linebackers. But before we do, I'm gonna mention one other guy. Porter Gustin looks great in uniform.
He does.
Can he play football?
Who knows? No, this guy's a bodybuilder type. So he really is. Like, and that's, there are some guys.
He looked spectacular today standing on the sideline. I just gotta say.
Yeah, I mean, some guys.
I don't remember a snap he played. Not to say that he didn't play a snap. He's dedicated
to it.
He probably did play a few snaps, and I just didn't see him. You know, he didn't do anything. But damn it, standing on the sideline, like, you know. Like, that's one of the guys that you – like, Raekwon Davis is the first to get off the bus. This guy might be second or third. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that if you were making notes on Porter Gustin's work at USC and coming out, if you had to put two notes down about him, just two, you know, one would be, like, pure strength, sort of forklift strength, you know, when facing up with an offensive lineman, and two would have been that he's a gym guy. I mean, he's a gym guy. He is a bodybuilder. You know, if he weren't playing football, he might be a bodybuilder, literally. Mm-hmm. That's
a professional wrestler. Guy.
Yeah, that's the kind of guy that he is. So those are the two things to remember about Porter Gustin. Whether you can actually play on a football field, you know, we'll have to see.
Yeah, I guess we have to wait for the preseason for that. His fit on the team, like, at the expense of who? It's not going to be a defensive lineman. They're listing him as a linebacker. So it has to be at the expense of what? Sam Egwuban? So there's like four guys going for Sam Egwuban's spot this year?
Yeah, but I don't think they're comparable.
Yeah, so
I mean, he's an edge. Porter Gustin, he might be a linebacker, but he's an edge. You mentioned Brennan Scarlett a little bit earlier. That's more, you know, Porter Gustin, Brennan Scarlett would probably be in direct competition with one another. One gets injured. If Brennan Scarlett gets injured, then Porter Gustin's chances increase quite a bit.
Yeah, All right, moving on to the defensive backs. I saw this guy on the program because they give you like a roster, like the official roster, and with all the you know, all the number changes and who didn't, you know who's on the PUP list and who's on the physically unable to perform. They had Elijah Campbell on there, but he was doing a lot of work on the side. He looked pretty good to me. The only guy I didn't see do any work was Byron Jones, but that's obvious.
Yeah,
because right. You know, he won't be around for I would say at least a week. Mm. But I noticed this guy, and I was like, this name is familiar to me, Quincy Wilson. And I was like, it was so familiar to me that I'm like, oh man, I gotta start researching more here. And then I just looked to the right of his name and said Florida.
Yeah, dude, you remember the guy?
I gushed about this guy 6 years ago when he was coming out, and he ended up on the Dolphins.
Yeah, no, he's
a strange long trip. He's played in the NFL for 6 seasons.
Yeah, he's been around, man. And I remember him coming out too.
I missed. Well, he's only 26, by the way, so there's still time.
Well, it goes back to what you said, and you know, you're talking about the secondary, and you're talking about how these are all, this is like the best looking secondary that you know, as far as how they're
built. Quincy Wilson goes right in there because this is a 6'2", 210-pound guy.
Well, he's 6'1", but yeah, he's a 6'1", 210-pound dude. And he can move, you know, he's a 4.50 kind of, you know, 4.5 flat type of athlete for that size. That's quite good. But yeah, he's always been the guy that you would accuse Brian Flores and this staff of wanting to target as like, you know, man outside corner type of guy. He's got that, he's very lengthy. He's very lengthy and pretty good athlete.
Yeah, now I would say
Trill Williams. I mean, that's
yeah, and that's where I'm gonna get back to Trill right here in a second. Now I was thinking Nick Needham, you know, in a pinch, because this is my hypothetical. My hypothetical is that, you know, one of our boundary corners can't play, and although they were remarkably healthy last year, both of them. Byron Jones didn't miss a game, I believe, and Xavier Howard missed a game, and neither was healthy for that Tampa Bay game. But if one were not to play, where does this begin? Where does that battle for a boundary corner begin and end? And can you handicap it a little bit with what's on the roster right now? Because I would say, you know, in a pinch, Nick Needham can always move outside, and then I guess what, Javon Holland is playing in nickel. But if you want to keep Nick Needham where he's been best and you have enough athletes on the outside, where's the battle for a boundary corner? It's Noah Igbinoghene and Trill Williams, really, isn't it?
Well, I think it's interesting that you say that about Nick Needham, because like his journey as an NFL player has been an interesting one. I think that, you know, what's he been in the NFL like 3 years, and the first year, as I recall, he was used a lot on the outside, and then when he went to the next year, it was almost like he was getting used to another position, because then he became slot, you know, and like his, if he was like an 80% outside guy in his first year, he became an 80% slot guy in his second year. But what's interesting to me is that last year, you know, update it to last year, his third year, and you know, he looked good. When he would have to be used as like a safety, or when he'd have to be put in the box or something like that. And yeah, he still played a lot of slot, but he, you know, it's just interesting to me, the progression of his. But the bottom line is, what I'm saying is that he's played everywhere for this team. And I think that that's notable, because, you know, when you see what he did, for example, last year in preseason, you'd have been convinced that he was moving a wide corner again, you know, that he was going to the outside again. And so I think that you're talking about, they're just regarding him at some point. It's not about specialists. It's not about plugging, you know, this square into this square hole. It becomes about the player. And I think that if Byron Jones were to go down, or Xavier Howard or something like that, then it's Nick Needham. It's Nick Needham moving over and taking a different role. And I think that that's just because of the player that he is and the spot that he's earned more in a, on a rotation basis on a, or a pecking order basis than a specific position.
Would you read into anything into this that Trill Williams has played free safety before and has played free safety for this team in preseason before, while Noah Igbinoghene seems to be pigeonholed as a boundary corner?
Yeah, I would read a lot into it because clearly they like Trill Williams is his, I mean, I said this before. It's like, there's a reason, you know, for him, it seems arrow up. For Igbinoghene, it seems stuck in mud. And one of the reasons that you'll always get an arrow up with coaching staffs is when you play multiple positions, and he can play multiple positions. But I think Trill is being looked at as a wide corner, mm-hmm. right? And that's what, I mean, it sounds like if six on the side, you know, you can't say it, but he was playing wide corner. You know, and I think that this is his, the fact that he's been used or been able to be used, and he had a history in college too, so, of being moved between multiple positions as well. So it's definitely a check mark in his favor. But yeah, Nick Needham, I kind of expect to be like number three, you know, instead of like, oh, he's our slot man, and I think he's just number three. And yeah. and then we'll see how the other guys shake out. But I don't think there's a shortage of players on the roster that can play the slot, though. Mm. You mentioned one of them, Javon Holland.
Speaking of which, his teammate Verone McKinley. I didn't see him do too much out there today, but he has a lot of interest. Like, he has fans. I guess I just see that. Oh, you know, he was Javon Holland's teammate, so it must have rubbed off on him a little bit. You know what I mean? So any thoughts on Verone McKinley and why he was a free agent? He didn't get drafted.
No, he didn't get drafted. Honestly, I mean, you'd have to ask Simon about him. He was more of a fan and watched more of him than I did in college.
I will say this. I have a scouting report from last year, and he had a fourth, fifth round rating from the NFL scouting combine. So they liked him enough to actually – you know, which is just terrible advice. He probably looked at, oh, wait a minute, I'm a fourth or fifth rounder. You know, first of all, he's not gonna think he's a fifth rounder. If they tell him that you're a fourth or fifth rounder, he's thinking he's the first pick in the fourth round. You know what I mean?
I'm sure he is, but I mean, the way they do those grades, though, they basically say first round, second round, or right? Or is it just first round and then? Like I don't think they give like specific rounds anymore.
I don't think so. But the way I see it from that outfit is first, second. They have a lot of designations as, you know, top 15 pick, like the obvious guys, right? And then there's a lot of first, second round designations. Then there's a lot of second, thirds. Then there's a lot of fourth, fifths, and then there are no sixth, seventh. Mm-hmm. It's either fourth, fifth, or UDFA or late pick types. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he has good numbers, 4.49 and the 40. You know, I guess his size is also good. 5'10", 195 pounds listed. You know, if he's all of that 5'10", then that's pretty good. But, you know, he had good numbers. He had six interceptions in a season for Oregon. And it was, oddly enough, it was the year he stepped in for Javon Holland. Mm-hmm. You know, so he had good numbers in college. So yeah, he's an interesting type, but I like to see more. We haven't seen, you know, we have to see him actually play, and I'll be able to comment more on Saturday. I'll have my binoculars on him when he's in coverage. You know, we can all guess where, you know, he's probably playing, which unit he's probably playing in.
But let's make this simple though for the listeners. Who caught your eye the most on offense today of anybody?
Teron Armstead, really.
Just because of who he is and how he's built and how he moves.
Yeah, it's one of those things. In actual play, you know, Jalen Waddle had a couple of flashy plays, and Tyreek Hill is Tyreek Hill. You just watch him run around, and you're like, wow, this guy's like really, really, really fast. You know what I mean? I'll give you one. Look, I'll give you one under the radar. Under the radar guy. You know who looked really, really slim and fast and athletic? Adam Shaheen.
Did he?
Yes.
Interesting.
That guy looks like he consulted somebody and somebody told him, you know what? Drop 15 pounds and you're going to look great in camp and that's going to help you.
Oh.
And yeah, he looked nice and slim and he had a good, he caught a pass. And what I like to see is when tight ends extend their stride, that they're actually going places. You know what I mean? Mm. Here's one thing. Durham Smythe, when he extends his stride, everybody just catches up to him. And all he creates is a big, giant ball of humanity. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I like guys that when they extend their stride, people reach at them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Adam Shaheen had that type of play today where you could see like, wait a minute, I actually run to catch this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a flashy play. It was just one play, but it was flashy. On defense, you know, it was Trill Williams.
He always has been, as well, but he always has been that though in college. I mean, that's he's a pass catching playmaker. I mean, he's not to be confused with a Durham Smythe, in my opinion. So that's interesting, especially if he, you know, it's true that he's lost some weight. You say Solomon Kinley's lost some weight.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously guys that just sort of look like who they are, just very, very impressive athletes would be, Teron Armstead and Tyreek Hill. And
oh, I'll give you another one. Another one that Jalen looks great Waddle's physically.
Very fast too.
Connor Williams, but, man. Wow. Like,
yeah, he's built well.
He's a specimen. Well. Yeah, absolutely. Moves smooth. Mm, one thing I did like about Connor Williams, he gave one, because I was watching the snaps, because I'm like, you know, he's center now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was one snap that I looked at it and I'm like, it kind of looked funky. You know what I mean? Because remember, it's a left-handed quarterback. You want to hit him on his left nipple. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that way it's an easy transition to throw the football. And I saw one snap where maybe it was right nipple-ish. You know what I mean? It was off. And right away, you know, like their rep was gone. And here came, well, I don't think I'm revealing anything. Yes, yes, ladies and gentlemen. Tua Tagovailoa and Connor Williams are on the first team. Okay. So here came the second team, and Connor Williams took Tua to the side and said, you know what? Let's snap the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they tried to get that together. But yeah, he looked great. On the defensive side of the ball, Trill Williams. I already, you know, mentioned that a bunch of times.
So he really had a standout. That you think he's gonna come in with an orange jersey tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm calling it. And if he doesn't come out with an orange jersey, I'm gonna look like a complete idiot, but I'll look like an idiot with the rest of the beat who's saying he looked great today. You know?
But, and and if so, tomorrow, like, I don't know if you were able to watch today, but like, Mike Gesicki and his blocking, like, not, I mean, listen, they're padless, so we know that. But his technique, I guess I would say, the way he sits and his blocking, like, I don't know if you would have seen that today, but that's something that'll be very, very interesting to take a look at.
That's a great observation. Look, for you fans out there on Saturday, if you're going to go out there on Saturday, this is what you want to watch on a tight end. When a tight end is in a 3-point, no, I don't think I'm revealing too much here. This is just wide zone stuff. If he's in a 3-point stance and he's outside of the defensive end, he has to throw his left flipper out in front of the defensive end. And then basically wall them off to the sideline. The quicker you do that, even if you get completely run over and destroyed, that's fine. That works. Mm-hmm. You just want the guy that does that. You do not want the guy that extends his hands. You don't want that because you essentially just blew your whole position. Now, I don't know if Mike Gesicki is going to be in that spot. I think Durham Smythe is really good at doing something like that. He's good at getting his left flipper out in front of the defensive end. But that's where you want to see. You want to see a tight end do that consistently. The guys that do that will play for us, and will play a lot of snaps for us. On the way out, Tommy Heatherly, the backup punter, he's wearing number 59. This guy's hopeless, right?
Hopeless?
I would say so. Thomas Morstead.
He's picking a fight with Morstead. That's for on Twitter. That's for sure.
Yeah, we saw that, right? They were going back and forth like that. That's that had the possibility to be epic. And then I saw the guy wearing a number 59 today. I'm like, wait a minute, we have a new long snapper. And sure enough, no. Blake Ferguson is still out there. Tommy Heatherly is the backup punter, and he's wearing number 59. Like, if that's not a bad sign, I don't know what is. Right, like that guy should not. He shouldn't even sign.
Oh man, I don't. I everything I ever thought I knew about numbers was thrown out the window when they just made it like.
Hey, Trill Williams wore 51 last year.
I mean, for fuck's sake. Think about everything.
And this year we're putting him in the Hall of Fame. This year we have him making All Pro this year, and he wore 51 last year. You know,
I mean, and that's so seriously because the sort of judgment you just made just now, like, you know, about a guy that's like, oh, based on his number, he probably doesn't have a shot. That was somewhat valid in previous years. Like you could kind of tell, like, and you know, just by how it worked with the equipment manager and getting the number and stuff. But it's all out the window now. Everybody's every number.
Yeah, like if you saw a wide receiver with a number 62, that guy's screwed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean he's probably next stop is they're gonna ask him to, you know, clean the facilities.
Yeah, I will say this, and this is also not revealing anything. Thomas Morstead looked better. He just looked better. He looks like a pro. He was doing some of those parlor tricks that punters do, but I will not handicap punting ever again, because last year Michael Pilardi was an absolute punting demon in preseason.
And we all saw then he turned into a demon, an actual demon.
Then we saw what his season turned out. So, yeah. And all of these punters can do these parlor tricks. And Thomas Morstead today was doing a really interesting one where he was like, okay, you want me to punt inside the 10 yard line? I'll punt this one end over end. Right. And you're looking at it, you're like, okay, that's an ugly punt. And then you realize, wait a minute, he's doing it on purpose. Yep. And sure enough, he gets it to bounce like around the 8 yard line, and it skips toward the end zone, and which allows your team to catch up to it around the 2 or the 3. And then you're like, okay, well, that's just one that he hit end over end. And then you see the very next one, he's hitting a perfect spiral that's hitting out of bounds at the 5 yard line. And then he does it on the other side of the field. And you're like, okay, he's actually doing this shit on purpose. Like, this is a real skill, people, you know?
It's like sometimes it's interesting to watch that guys like that at work, because it's also interesting to watch the long snappers at work, because as much as we just never think about the long snapper, there's actually quite an impressive amount of skill that they can put on display. I mean, if you're going to be a long snapper in the NFL, you're going to make $1 million just to snap the goddamn ball. Yes. You better be fucking like Billy the Kid with those firing off those snaps. I mean,
I have a friend of mine whose son was a really, really good football player here locally. He played tight end, and he actually got a full ride to Florida Tech into becoming an engineer. Right. Mm-hmm. But when he was at Florida Tech playing at Florida Tech, his father told him, you got to practice long snapping. Make sure you do that. And he was like, why? Why do I have to? And my friend told him, because you could get a 20-year career in the NFL, you asshole. Practice long snapping. And it's true. Like, you could come out of Florida Tech, and if you're just good at long snapping, you know. Instead, he's now a 6'3", 240-pound civil engineer.
Ah, well, God bless.
Right. All right, Chris.
I bet he'd rather be a long snapper.
Making a million dollars a year. Yeah, as a long snapper, he would be making 4 times what a civil engineer makes. So yes. Yeah, absolutely. He'd rather be a long snapper. Look at John Denny. John Denny probably can own an island. You know, in fact, that's a great fucking exercise. How much money
we should tally up what he made. But we should contact John Denny and ask him if he owns his own island.
I'm pretty sure he does. He was a long snapper for 23 years. Man, that's a lot of money, man. That's a lot of interest. Maybe he was a really good trader. Maybe he bought the right stock all the time. You know what I mean? Can you imagine that? Right. Like, if you're a long snapper, I always have that. I have like these pictures in my mind of who these people are. I picture like the long snapper is the best stock trader on the team. No?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no. I think you're not wrong. I think
Wrong. He's probably the stock picker. He's who, like, the high-priced defensive tackle. He's the guy who Aaron Donald goes to and says, man, what should I buy? You know what I mean? You know, I just got this $60 million check because I just signed an extension.
You know, I was looking at it. Into? I was looking at it, and I think that John Denny has made somewhere in the range of, like, it's got to be very close to this. I think he's made somewhere in the range of $9 to $10 million in his career.
Kind of disappointing.
Yeah. I mean, they say career $8 million, but it could be that, but I'm like just trying to add these numbers, but over the cap says $8.2 million in his career. Not a bad career for a guy who just gets on a football field and snaps the ball.
Yeah, not bad. All right. That's going to have to be it. We went extremely long today. All right. But we had a lot to talk about while, you know, our co-host Simon Clancy is somewhere in Colombia. Say it one more time before we leave.
I wish that I were in Colombia.
Perfect. That's two for two, people. That's a pro at work. All right. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.